It is the Lord. It is the Lord. That line is a reminder by the beloved disciple that Jesus is the Lord in the lives of the apostles. Peter is leading here. Peter is the leader. Well, it doesn't matter, because even the leader at this point does not recognize the Lord. Peter doesn't recognize the Lord at this point. But this disciple says to him, it is the Lord. And the moment they recognize it is the Lord, things began to change. I want you to reflect on that line, it is the Lord. Yesterday, I concelebrated at a mass, a funeral mass for a young boy, a youth, 17 years old, who took his life. I missed some circumstances that were considered beyond his control, circumstances that the family could not figure out, and no family can figure that out anyway. At the end of that mass, before I left, I went to the mom, I went to the dad, I went to the siblings, and said to them, remember, it is the Lord. Remember that the Lord is with you. Remember that the Lord has control of every situation. Now I want you to think about it. Do you have someone in your life who can remind you that it is the Lord? That He reigns. He reigns. The book of Revelation today says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory and blessing. To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. It is the Lord. The Lord reigns. We have to have someone remind us about that. The gospel of this Sunday blends feelings, moods, emotions amongst the disciples. Following the death of Jesus, they are thinking of starting life afresh. Where do we begin from here? It's a low point, a very low point in their lives. What happens next? This 21st chapter of John's Gospel brings Peter's mood and that of the other disciples within this circumstance. So they are beginning to ponder on their fate, on the absence of the master. And Peter says to them, I am going fishing. It's a language of desperation. It's a language of hopelessness and helplessness. I am going fishing. And spontaneously, they all jump in. We will also go with you. We will also come with you. What is happening to these disciples here? It's like facing a goal-oriented confusion, facing a crisis of not knowing where to go next. So without the master, they are like sheep without a shepherd. So Peter wants to return to, let's just start from there, right? Let's just begin from there. Let's go fishing, and maybe what happens, happens from there. And the disciples' response is like, we are also going with you. It's like, we're up to whatever plans you come up with, Peter. Whatever plans you come up with here, let's flow, let's go along. In fact, this reminds me somehow of our days in the high school. By the time we were nearing graduation, some of us are not even sure of what next we are going to do. Some of us were not sure of what's, I mean, like, what's the next profession or vocation or goal? We hadn't even figured it out as such. And as peers in those days, we would occasionally sit down together to talk about our goals and next steps in life. Some had concrete plans. Some had concrete plans. And they would describe their plans. I would like to be a doctor. I would like to be an engineer. I'm going to become a pilot. I'm going to become a lawyer. I'm going to become a priest. The mere fact that they said this would lead those who have no plans to say, I also want to be a doctor. I also want to be a lawyer. I also want to be an engineer or a pilot or a priest. But we know today how many of us who said those things became lawyers or doctors or engineers or pilots or priests. So this is like the disciples. You know, the disciples are like seminarians in Jesus' hand. They're like seminarians, so they are being formed towards this vocation. But the master is no more. So it's like, is the seminary closed? Right? So what's happening next? Okay, if he's not here anymore and we don't even know what's happening, let's start from fishing. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go with you, Peter. We'll go with you. I'm done, guys. Not sure of what your plans are here. They say, we are done with you, Peter, because we remember that this man handed the keys over to you. So we are going to hang out with you, whatever that means. We are not even sure. This is the lowest point in the lives of the disciples. However, Jesus already knew their next line of action. Jesus already knew where to meet them. And scripture says, Jesus revealed himself again to them at the Sea of Tiberias. How come he knew they were going to the Sea of Tiberias? How come he knew they are going fishing? The Sea of Tiberias in the Old Testament is called the Sea of Kinnereth. And later, this is the sea that is known as the Lake of Genesaret. Let's make some connection here. What happens here is significant for several reasons. In the first place, the disciples catch nothing through the night. Jesus stands at the shore. Jesus inquires about their fishing. Jesus is aware of their lack of success. And then Jesus directs them to cast their nets to the right. And eventually, they make a huge catch. They make a huge catch. Flash your mind a little back. Flash your mind a little back and see whether you can remember something happening like this in the scripture. The beloved disciple helps Peter to recognize who Jesus is when he says it is the Lord. But the parallel is exactly like what happened in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. This is where Jesus calls Peter at the Lake of Genesaret. And permit me to read that passage to you. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Genesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." This is like a replay of what is happening here. This is the post-resurrection experience now, and it's like this passage that I read out to you. Jesus appears to them, they caught nothing, and the beloved disciple identifies Jesus, and the moment he identifies Jesus for Peter, Peter jumps into the sea. At the first instant, Peter said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And at this point, he jumps into the sea because he was lightly clad. So Jesus is reinforcing his call for these disciples. I think he specifically comes to commission Peter. He comes to commission Peter for this task at this point. The first appearance, he came when the house was closed, when the doors were closed, and he appeared to everybody. The second, he came for Thomas, because Thomas was not there. And then this third time, he's coming to commission their ministry and their mission into being disciples. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid." That's what he said to Simon at the first time. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fisher of men." So they pulled up their nets. They pulled the nets to the shore. This process of commissioning Peter and the disciples begins with the beloved disciple pointing out Jesus to Peter, that he is the Lord. Peter jumps into the sea, which the scripture scholars interpret as a ritual of self-baptism, symbolizing a newly found commitment to the risen Lord. Peter cleanses himself of the denial. His first meeting with Jesus happened at the Sea of Gennesaret. So this second initiation is appropriate to take place at the same river to remind Peter of the demand of leadership. "I will make you fishers of men." So Jesus reaffirms Peter's trust. Jesus probes him to demonstrate his love. Jesus invites Peter to profess his faith. And three times he asks him, "Do you love me?" It does not matter if Peter had denied him three times earlier. What matters is to entrust himself into the service of God's love for his sheep. Peter must recognize that the Lord has got his back at all times and will take care of his ministry. The statement, "It is the Lord," ushers hope as well as commitment. And my dear friends, it is important for us to recognize that Jesus is Lord in our lives at all moments. Like that family yesterday, weeping and crying for the loss of their loved son, it is important to hear these words, "It is the Lord." But there are times you feel low. Times you feel like you're not even producing any results. Times that pains make you to lose sight of who you are. Times that struggles and challenges, disappointments, failures in life make you to feel like you cannot do anything anymore. Do you have someone to remind you that it is the Lord? That is your Sea of Tiberias, that place where you run to, where you want to go, where you want to hide. But the Lord meets you there at your Sea of Tiberias and reminds you that he is the Lord. He prepares the breakfast, and that is the blessed Eucharist that he gives to his disciples. It's a moment of strengthening, a moment of hope. The message in this gospel is that Jesus never abandons his own. Jesus meets you at the Sea of Tiberias and transforms your hopelessness. He prepares the table and he invites you to this special meal. And all he needs from you is to tell him that you love him. If Jesus looks at you in the face and says, "Do you love me more than any other thing in your life?" What would be your answer? Peter said, "You know everything. You know I love you." Jesus knows everything, but he wants you to reinforce it. "Do you love me?" He's asking you. If you love him, you know that he is the Lord. And I remind you again today, he is the Lord. The Lord in your work, the Lord in your family, the Lord in your relationship, the Lord in your struggle. Believe that he is the Lord and he will take care of you. It doesn't matter what the past is. What matters is that the Lord is with you now and forever. Amen.